John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. God is a sending God. God is a sending God. Yes, that's an attribute of God that is so very often overlooked. God is a sending God. Yes, God is loving. If I were to ask you, what's the attribute of God that speaks the most to you? Some of you would say, well, I thank God he's a faithful God. I thank God he's a forgiving God. I thank God he's a jealous God. But how much of God would we know of? How much of him would we know if he were not a sending God? The God who sends. He sent Jesus. He sent the prophets. He sent pastors and missionaries all over the world. He sent the Holy Spirit, God in us, to guide us, our paraclete, to counsel us. The God who sent. God is the God who does not change. He's all-knowing, right? He knows the end from the beginning. That's our God. In Isaiah 46, verse 9, we read, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. I declare," says God, "the end from the beginning." That's why I say, well, from what I read in the Bible, God doesn't have a plan B. His plan is the plan A. Well, now, by dragging our feet, we slow the plan that he has for us. But God, his will happen. His sovereign will be done. That's our God. In Genesis 3:15, remember? "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Each shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That's from the garden. That's the gospel. That would happen years later. So God is a sending God. He's sending you and me. He's sending all of us. When he gave that command, he was not just talking to the 11. He was not just talking to pastors. He was talking to every believer. The command is to stay busy. The command is to be witnesses. The command is to be busy testifying. We are sent to tell a lost world that there is only one way to the Father. It's only one way. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and they told me, well, to Jesus through Mary. We don't see that in the Bible. To God through Jesus. That's what we see in the Word of God. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, zero, comes to the Father but by me." So you and I, we are sent to witness. In Jerusalem, why Jerusalem for them? That's where they were. So that's where they were planted. So for you, it is here. We're here in Martinez or in Augusta. That's where you are planted. That's your neck of the roots. So the job is to witness here. My job is to witness in Colorado, where I've been planted for the last 11 years. And when I go to Haiti, my job is to witness in Haiti. And my job also is to train disciples to do the same, to reach people around them. You know that saying that goes, "The light that shines the farthest shines brighter at home." So yes, I have no business coming to tell you how to live if I don't live the Christian life for my son to see, for my wife to see. They should be able to witness about me, to tell you about me. They will tell you I'm not perfect. My son will tell you I'm not the perfect. He used to think I was a perfect dad, but he knows now. So in Jerusalem, right? In Judea, concentric circles expanding. In Samaria, why Samaria? That's the place they didn't like. They didn't like. Remember, they used to go around out of their way to go to Samaria. Remember Jonah? He wanted the Ninevites to go to hell. God wants them to be saved. God wants us to tell people in places that are not what we like. He wants us to go there and tell them. For me, it's probably the Dominican Republic. Because the way they treat Haitians, you know, we have a beef against them. But I'm learning Spanish because I want to reach them also for the Lord. Because God wants them to be saved. I don't know about you. I was in school in Texas, and I heard someone say, the people were identified where they came from. And I heard someone say, I'm from Oklahoma. And someone said, I am so sorry. That tells you the love they have for Oklahomans. But you get the idea. We need to get out of our comfort zone and do what God has called us to do. I don't know if you realize, everyone that received the command, the order to go, every one of those prophets, almost every one of them, not all of them, had an excuse. They had an excuse. Remember Moses? Moses told God, I cannot speak, right? He told God, I cannot speak. And God said, Who made the mouth? Come on, tell me, Moses. Remember Gideon? Gideon said, oh, Lord, who am I to save Israel? And God said, I wonder if he whispered, I will be with you. And that's what God's telling you right now. My excuse was that I want to live the comfortable life in Colorado. Can you tell how soft that was? I wanted to live the easy life in Colorado. I wanted to, you know, pursue the American dream, make a lot of money, drive my nice car. And I'm ashamed to say, I said, I don't care about the people of Haiti. I don't care about the souls. Those 250,000 people who died at the earthquake, before or after, I said, I don't care. And a lot of those died without Jesus. I repent from that. Thank God not all those that he called said no or said they had an excuse. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. And remember Philip, one of those deacons? Philip probably went because of persecution to Samaria. But he went there and things started to go well in Samaria. Acts chapter 8 tells us everything was going good. But the Holy Spirit says, go to the desert. Go to the desert. And I'm thinking, if I were Philip, I would say, God, what am I going to do in the desert? Ministry is going well here. I have a name here. If I were Philip, I would say, who am I going to preach to the scorpions in the desert? Philip went, no questions asked. And when he got to the desert, what did he find? He find that the man he's going to catch up with has his own government vehicle. He had a chauffeur. He had a squall, his own squall. That doesn't bother Philip because that man is cruising to hell. And Philip told him how to be saved. And he got saved. And I'm wondering, and I'm ashamed to say, that many times God has sent me to chariots, to catch up with chariots, to win soul. And I wanted to stay in Colorado. How about you? What's your excuse? How many times you dragged your feet to not catch up with your chariot? Let me give you an example of chariot that you might catch up to. Being on airplanes cruising over this beautiful country or across the ocean, and you bury your head in a book, and there is a passenger to your right, to the left, and it's like you shy away from sharing the word of God with them. How many of us fishing at the pond and someone is here and we hear them sometimes say, whoa, I am such a failure. My life is just a zero or something. I'm failing. I'm this, I'm that. I'm in class or somewhere and we don't catch up with that chariot. We don't tell them, here is hope. Here is hope. I'm glad you ask. God wants us to have no excuse whatsoever when he sends those souls by us. No excuse at all. And we never know. You and I, we don't know who is ready to make a decision. We won't know. But what's your job? What's my job? It is to share. We are herald. We are messengers. What they do with it is their business, right? But we are to catch up with our chariots. Remember the man who was demon-possessed? He was demon-possessed. He was a danger to society. They tied him with chains, and he broke them, breaking havoc. And he met Jesus, and Jesus freed him. He cast out the demons. And he wanted to stay with Jesus, right? He said, bid me to stay with you. And Jesus would not let him. But Jesus said, tell him. He said, go and tell your friends. Go tell your parents. Go tell your kindred. Go tell them how the Lord had mercy on you. That's what God wanted me to do, and I didn't want to go. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to tell the world that you found the pearl of great value. You found God's greatest gift. And the job now is to share it. To share it with people. You may feel inadequate. Yes, good if you feel inadequate. In fact, if you feel that you are good at it, you're probably cocky. It's probably not a good thing. If you feel inadequate, that's good. Because only God can do this through you. Only God can do this through you. You know, I'm finishing by saying, you know, remember that. Someone said it, and it's not original with me, but he said, if our greatest need was money, God once would send a financier, you know, someone who can make money for you. If our greatest need was education, he would send a teacher to teach us science or whatnot. But because our greatest need was salvation, he sent a savior. He sent Jesus. So what better product? You know, people with Coca-Cola, they market it all the way to the remotest place of the earth. Just sugar water. They market it all over. When you flash that sign, everybody knows what it is. We have a product that is so much better. Forgive my vocabulary, but we have something that's much better than Coca-Cola. We have something that's much better than Apple. You know what Steve Jobs told someone? I'm offering you a chance to change the world, and you want to settle for selling sugar water? That means we're selling Pepsi. God has given us an opportunity to change the world, to win soul for him. And we can do it while we do our regular job, by the way. You don't have to quit your accounting, your painting business, your sale business to win souls. You can serve God wherever you are. But if he calls you to be missionaries, if he calls you to serve him cross-culturally, will you say yes? So if you forget everything I said tonight, please remember. This guy from Haiti told you, thou shalt have no excuses before the Lord. May God bless you.